My passion was, I like the operations side, I like the business side, I like the marketing side. My partners love representing clients and getting in the courtroom and litigating. And so we divvied up the responsibilities at the firm according to our strengths. I always tell firms, you're going to build your firm on your strengths of your key people, not by improving their weaknesses. So lean into their strengths, lean into things that they do well.
Welcome to Trial Lawyer View, the podcast dedicated to the fierce yet compassionate lawyers who fight every day for justice in the courtroom. Our guests are top trial lawyers and their firms who share their stories and experiences, offering valuable insights into their journey, as well as expert guests who provide actionable strategies and practical tips for personal injury lawyers looking to optimize their operations, enhance client service, and drive growth in their practices. Trial Lawyer View is brought to you by Synergy. At Synergy, we aren't just a service provider. We are a strategic partner for personal injury law firms, seamlessly integrating with law firms to boost efficiency from day one. Outsourcing cumbersome administrative tasks like lien resolution and Medicare compliance to an expert partner like Synergy enables personal injury firms to focus on what they do best.
Welcome to another episode of Trial Lawyer View, where I'm joined by Chad Dudley. Chad is a seasoned leader with a unique blend of legal, business consulting, and marketing expertise. He has a proven track record of transforming personal injury law firms into highly efficient, client-centered businesses. As the co-founder and partner of Dudley DeBosier Injury Lawyers, Chad has been at the forefront of helping injured individuals for over 15 years. His leadership and management skills have helped his firm grow into one of Louisiana's most successful and reputable personal injury practices. Beyond his legal career, Chad has significantly impacted the legal marketing space. In 2009, he founded Vista Consulting, where he helped scores of personal injury firms streamline operations and improve efficiency. Today, he serves as CEO of CJ Advertising, where his innovative strategies have enabled countless firms to grow through a mix of digital and broadcast marketing. Chad's combined expertise in personal injury law and marketing has allowed him to develop a deep understanding of how to scale law firms effectively. His ability to integrate data-driven marketing strategies with operational efficiencies has set him apart as a leading expert in the industry. From navigating complex cases to spearheading marketing campaigns that drive client acquisition, Chad's approach centers on sustainable growth, smart investments, and maximizing the potential of law firms. Today, we touch upon his insights on managing and marketing for law firms and the essential strategies for long-term success in today's competitive legal landscape. Chad, welcome to Trial Lawyer View, and thank you for taking the time to be with me today on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Always a pleasure. And thank you for having me.
So you've had a quite unique journey from founding your personal injury firm to Vista Consulting and leading CJ Advertising. How did your background in both law and business management shape your approach to starting your own law firm and law firm management in general?
It's been a unique journey. And I always, you know, I have two boys, they're adults, and they ask, like, how do you end up in the thing that you're doing? And how do you find the thing that's right for you? And I always say, you know, when you're taking on a new project or task, one, when you get outside your comfort zone, some really cool stuff happens, right? And while we're all given that first job and we're all given maybe that first case or that first project, and it's very clearly defined, and you have to fulfill the requirements of the job, you have to fulfill the requirements of the project. But in addition to that, you can always go beyond. And I always tell my sons, like, go beyond and go do more. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're getting paid or not, just go above and beyond. And then you run into some really crazy things and cool things. And so in my first job out of law school, I worked for a firm and we did toxic torts. And I was put in charge of, you know, managing discovery responses on behalf of 4,000 plaintiffs, which was a very overwhelming task. And that was the job. But then I went beyond. I said, well, how do we make this easier? And I got into like database design and got into some of the tech stuff. And then that led to the next thing, that led to the next thing. And then down the road, you know, just it kept progressing. We can talk about more details, but, you know, always going outside your comfort zone. And I didn't really know anything about databases or SQL or any of that kind of stuff, but said, okay, you know what? I'm going to take this on. And that led to another opportunity. And then you go beyond again. That leads to another opportunity. You go beyond again. And got into consulting with helping other law firms tackle some of these issues, and started Vista Consulting with Tim Mackey, and you know, one of my closest friends, and they're still out there and doing incredible work. And then when we bought the advertising agency, I stepped down from Vista and just focused on developing law firms with CJ Advertising with the team over there. And then while all this is going on, just growing our law firm. And so it's been a really great journey. I mean, the short version is that I've gotten to work with hundreds of personal injury firms throughout the United States, all different sizes, all different shapes, and just built a lot of really great relationships. And the idea is, look, I'm an open book. I share what we do, how we do it to anybody, everybody. I don't care if you're a competitor in the backyard or, you know, just trying to get going, you know, halfway across the country. If we take the viewpoint, if we help another plaintiff law firm do better work in any way, shape, or form, we're indirectly helping plaintiffs. And so that's a good thing. That's why we do what we do. And so here we are. And I've been doing it for, gosh, 25 years now. And it goes by quick.
Well, I can identify with what you just talked about, because that's my path was similar in just, you know, developing this niche and becoming an expert in this area, and kept going beyond and beyond of what I originally even thought about, and starting the company, starting Synergy, and, you know, doing something that was unique and different, and evolving the space. It's very cool to be a, you know, get that opportunity and privilege to have that kind of experience. And it sounds like you and I have had similar experiences in that regard.
I think you talk to any, you know, some of the most interesting people I've ever met, some of the most interesting entrepreneurs I've ever met, always starts off with that story. Hey, this is the job. It's like this box. And they said, well, what if you, okay, I get it. We got to take care of that. You know, and you do, but what if you go outside that box and then challenge it? And cool things happen when you go outside that box and tackle issues from a different angle. And that's what I've always done. And I'm sure you had a very similar journey. Right?
So are there any specific key actionable things that you've taken away from all of these experiences and then applied specifically to growing and scaling your practice?
My goal, I'm always learning. Right. And after visiting firms, and if they could be the best run firm in the world, or maybe a firm that's facing some challenges, but I always ask myself, what can I learn from this firm? You know, while I'm teaching, what can I learn? Because everyone does certain things well. And so I'm even to this day. And it's interesting because things that I used to do, I'm doing some of the same general things I did early on, because there's certain systems, processes, advice that is unchangeable. Now, the application of it is quicker. Things that maybe took me a year to implement at law firms, you know, 5 years ago, now it could be weeks or it could be days, because the differences in technology and the differences in, okay, what if we improve this? And then the gradual improvements over time have allowed me to, you know, when I work with firms and even at our own firm, just go quicker, right? And get to the similar results. And you know, I think it's a tough thing when you talk about innovation. Like, should you be innovating? Yeah, but there's a lot you can learn by just finding who's getting results in the area that you're trying to improve. You know, is there a coach out there? Is there a firm out there that has been down this path and they can save you so much time, effort, and energy? And we still work with consultants and coaches ourselves, even though I'm a consultant to a bunch of firms and we work with a bunch of firms. You know, I still like, who can I learn from? Who can challenge me to grow? And they can shave so much time off your development as a leader, as an attorney, as a coach, as a, you know, all the different areas in your firm, and save you a lot of money. So that's one of the things. And when I look at firms, I mean, we can get into a little bit, but yeah, there's a couple things you can work on in the short term, like in the first 90 days. Usually when I go in, I'm looking for three things. I look at their intake, I look at how they rank their cases, and I look at how they set values on their cases. Those are the three things that if you make some tweaks to those, you can see some really good results in the first 90 days. Other things just take more time. We can kind of get into that, but you tell me where you want to go with this.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you about Vista Consulting, because you talked about it just a moment ago about co-founding it, and I know from being a student of the industry, the consulting business of helping personal injury firms operate more efficiently is pretty significant today. And I'm wondering, though, from your experience, are there key strategies that you believe PI firms overlook when it comes to management and operations of their law firms?
When Tim Mackey and I started Vista Consulting back in 2009 or 8, somewhere around that time frame, there was really not any, I mean, there were hardly any conferences, there were hardly any other consultants or coaches in the space. It was a very, it was tough to kind of find out how do you run a personal injury firm in the best way possible. And then now today, there's so many conferences and there's so many consultants in different areas. And you got to find the one that knows what they're doing, two, works, you know, connects with you and your team. And do they have a history of getting results, right? When we look at kind of how it's evolved over the years, one of the biggest things is just execute. Like, you know, so many times I'll see firms that they'll go to a conference, they'll work with a coach, and the job of the coach is to bring clarity to chaos, right? There's always 100 things you can do. There's always all these different things you can fix at your firm. And the challenge is not identifying the 100 things that you need to fix at your firm. The challenge is how do you boil it down to the 1 to 3 things that will really move the dial, right? And so, you know, so many firms will go to a conference and they're like, man, and they're emailing, they're texting their team while they're at the conference. Let's do this, let's do that. And it makes sense, their team in 100 different directions. And then they go to another conference the following week and they send another 100 things, and it's confusing. So as a consultant, as a coach, I'm like, look, just stay focused on what is the 1 to 3 things that can really impact your firm right now. Let's get laser focused on those things. Let's not let anything distract us from those things. And let's zero in. And by going slower, you'll actually go faster, if that makes any sense, right? Mm-hmm. So the challenge right now for many firms is just the overabundance of information. It's good stuff, but it's not all good for your firm right now in this stage of the firm's life. You got to find out what's good for you.
You had talked about having worked with almost 100 personal injury law firms throughout your career. And I'm curious, through those experiences, what are the top 3 challenges you've noticed that personal injury firms face, and how can they overcome them to have their practice operate optimally?
I think one of the big challenges is, you know, knowing who you are as a firm and as a owner. Two is you got to get intake right. And then 3 is on the case management side, being intentional about very simple things, right? And so let's talk about knowing who you are as a firm. So many firms, you know, they're like, they don't have a clear vision of where they're trying to go. They haven't taken the time to sit down and go, what am I trying to build? And it's important. You know, every year, my partners and I, since we started, I'd always been very goal oriented, but we sat down and said, okay, what kind of firm are we trying to build? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What kind of cases do we handle? What does our ideal client look like? And how do we want to be known in the community in terms of our firm, and getting a clear picture? And also intertwining that with our personalities, right? What are our strengths? And, you know, my passion was I like the operations side. I like the business side. I like the marketing side. My partners love representing clients and getting in the courtroom and litigating. And so we divvied up the responsibilities at the firm according to our strengths. I always tell firms, you're going to build your firm on your strengths of your key people, not by improving their weaknesses. So lean into their strengths, lean in to the things that they do well. And it's not that you ignore the things that you don't do well, but just you're not going to be a great firm by making the things you don't like, getting better at the things you don't like to do or not good at doing, right? The good to great concept is, you know, the hedgehog principle is basically, what can you be the best in the world at? What makes the firm money? And what do you enjoy doing? And when those 3 things overlap, can you lean into those things more and more? And look, early on when the firm is just getting going, you have to do everything, right? You make the coffee, you fix the printer, you know, deliver the mail, whatever. And as you grow, you start shedding off the things that don't fit into that hedgehog concept as quickly as you can and lean into the things that are your strengths. And so back to your question, what are one of the 3 things that firms get wrong is that they just don't take the time and go, hey, what are my strengths as an owner? What are the strengths of my key people? Where do we have to hire great people to cover up our weaknesses or to accommodate our weaknesses? Are we trying to build a, you know, a single event firm Are we going to handle the cases in-house, or what are we going to do with like the really big litigation cases? Do we want to be a firm that handles those in-house? Do we want to bring in co-counsel on certain cases? Do we refer a bunch of cases out? Do we not refer any out? Are we a mass tort firm? What kind of mass tort firm are we? Are we a firm that handles the acquisition of cases or the handling of cases? And getting clarity on what your strengths are, what you're trying to build, sounds like a, you know, very cliche, but it's vital. It's vital because it helps you who you're going to hire, what decisions you make. And so start there, right? And then the second thing, zeroing in on intake. You know, so many firms work so hard to get the phone to ring or get clients to consider them as a choice for a law firm when they need representation, but then they don't get fanatical about the intake process. And someone at your firm has to have a fanatical obsession over intake on a daily basis, or else you're going to be losing cases. You're going to be losing lots of opportunities, and you should be able to, I don't care if your firm has 3 people or 300 people. Do you have someone that obsesses over intake day in, day out, and is constantly communicating, looking at who's calling you, why are they calling you, are they getting treated right? And then thirdly, on the case management side, we can kind of dig into this a lot deeper, but people overcomplicate it, right? You know, I tell people, hey, look, there's 50 fields in your case management system that you really need to focus on, right? And we can circulate a link to your listeners of the fields that have a document that lines out those fields. But, you know, you don't need 300 fields in your CRM, your client relations manager. You need about 50, keep it simple, and manage your cases off those fields and be intentional about the things that you put into your database. Now, know who you are, focus on intake, be hyper intentional. And on the case management side, there's a whole thing we can go down because, and people have heard me talk about, you know, focusing on the cases with the highest potential and making sure they're in the hands of your best people, right? Because typically for most firms that are, you know, high performing firms, their best 5% of their cases generates about 50% of their revenue. And so if you open up 100 files, there's 5 files in there that tend to generate about 50% of your revenue. And how good is your firm at identifying those cases, working them up with your team, and getting results on those 5 can make or break a personal injury firm.
Yeah, and the last point, that's one thing that we talk about with our clients is removing from paralegals and attorneys the administrative burdens of healthcare lien resolution when their time is much better spent increasing the value of those key cases that ultimately are going to drive revenue. Because, man, you know, why do you want a paralegal, worse yet, even an attorney sitting on the phone with Medicare, for example, or going back and forth with Rawlings on an ERISA lien? Those minutes and hours, when you add them up and it pulls away from things that could actually help increase the value of cases for, you know, your clients, that it doesn't make sense.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, my friend, Tim Macchiavista has a good saying. He says, you know, we don't want surgeons piercing ears, basically saying, look, let's get our top people doing things that they're, you know, that is in their wheelhouse that requires their time, effort, energy, and attention. Let's get the stuff that just bogs them down off, you know, and handle it more efficiently. And that's the goal. And one of those things is when you get a result on a case, you resolve it with all the parties, and you're trying to get the check to your client. You're trying to get paid, and all there's a lot of admin stuff that happens at the end. I know so many firms that just don't take that part of the case seriously, and it just goes on forever. Talking with the firm the other day, and you know, yeah, their time on desk from opening the case to resolving with all defendants, not bad. Their time on desk from resolving with all defendants to getting the check to the client was crazy high. It was, you know, 100 days, right? And so you're thinking, like, those days matter. They matter to your firm. They matter to your client. And shaving those days down is critical on a number of different levels. And so many firms overlook it.
Critical revenue recognition for the firm, and then to what's the taste left in the mouth of the client when they're sitting there waiting after they know the case has been resolved, but you can't disperse because there's a bottleneck due to some of these administrative things that prevent disbursement. That's a it's a tough pill to swallow to go on the back end right when you want them to be walking out the door with the best possible feelings towards the firm and the representation they had in that case. I know for me, because I went through a personal injury case back in 2016, you know, hit by a car while I was cycling. And, you know, I went through the whole process for myself and negotiated my own lien, and even my own frustration of just going back and forth with our health insurance to get that dealt with. But I actually knew what was going on. But still, you know, at the very end, you just want to be done. And so, you know, as someone that's been through it, I think that that's critical for law firms to understand that psyche and mentality of someone that's been through this, is that that is a very bad taste that can be left in the client's mouth if there is that kind of a, you know, real problem with time on desk at the end of the case.
We always say that, look, you know, our clients, most of them are not attorneys. And so they're not in a position to judge us on the legal work that we do. They're not going to know, hey, man, you really killed it on that brief, or you did an amazing job, you know, arguing my case or my motion or my trial. You know, they don't know how to evaluate us on the legal work they do, but they do and can and should evaluate us on how do we make them feel. You know, did we, you know, were we sensitive to what they're going through? Do they feel like we are fighting for them every step of the way? Do they feel like we are on top of the case throughout the life of the case? And one of the things, you know, the two most difficult intervals in terms of like the client and what they're going through often is when the date that they finish treating to the date that you get that first offer on the table, right? So they feel like, hey, look, and I know that some people continue to treat throughout the life of the case, but those that maybe get to a spot where they feel better, the treatment's worked, and they're like, hey, I'm done, you know, attorney. I'm done treating. Can you get my case wrapped up now? The time from that moment to the time that you get that first offer on the table, even if it's a bad offer, but the first offer on the table, they're like, well, what are you doing? And there's a lot that's going on. You're collecting medical records. You're putting together a demand letter. You're getting the demand letter out. You're trying to get that offer on the table. And there's a lot of things that are happening, but in their minds are like, man, it's just time's ticking away. And so many firms take long to get the demand letter out. They take long to collect the medical records, get that first offer on the table, and it just goes on forever. And it's just a really, it puts them in a bad spot, the client. The other time that is the client understandably gets impatient is when you say, hey, I settled your case. I've resolved it. And now they're like, well, what's the holdup in getting the money in my hands, right? You told me that it was done. And so if you drag out either one of those time periods, that's where clients, again, understandably get the most frustrated with representation and the firm as a whole. And so you owe it to them to, one, keep them informed about exactly what's going on in each of those intervals and telling them what you're doing and maintaining high levels of communication. And then, two, keeping those time frames down as much as possible so that they're not just like staying on top of it every step of the way. I mean, a lot of firms struggle in those two time frames.
Yeah, I want to do great points. I wanted to shift focus a little bit and talk a little bit on the marketing side of things. I know your undergraduate degree was, I think, in marketing, and you've now got CJ Advertising, which is something I want to touch on in a moment. But I want to just ask you, based on your background and experience, how do you now approach making sure that your law firm's marketing efforts align with the overall business strategy for long-term growth? Connecting all that up is sometimes difficult for lawyers who don't have any marketing background and don't understand how to put that all together.
It can be absolutely challenging. Most business books will tell you, hey, look, if you want to grow the profitability of your business, regardless of your law or other professionals or any business, right, you can either increase the number of transactions or increase the value of each thing. So for us, translate, can we get more clients, or can we increase the results we get for each of our clients? Like, that's how we, now you can say, well, you can also cut expenses. I get that. And but that's a bottom line strategy. It's like, okay, well, we got to be good at letting clients know that we're out there to attract more clients. But in addition, we got to really push ourselves to get the best possible results for our clients, because we're on a contingency fee, like every personal injury attorney. And so the better job we do for our clients, then it's better for us as well, right? And so our interests are aligned. And so we're like, okay, well, just let's get laser, and sounds simplistic, but let's get fanatical about both those things. And we can talk about the getting better results for your clients. And we continue every day ask, how can we do a better job for our clients? On the acquisition of new clients, we're going, okay, back, 10, 15 years ago, it was simple. You do TV, maybe do some billboards and buy some yellow pages. And it was like, kind of, that was it, right? And then it's gotten increasingly complex in this new era. And it can be overwhelming for a lot of attorneys and a lot of firms that are not familiar with, and who can keep up with all the different technologies that are going on, right? And so, having a partner or an agency that has multiple, departments and people that are great at digital. This group is great with traditional media, TV, billboards, radio, print, how to do, marketing back to your existing clients, right? And former clients. And there's all these things. And so from someone who's just getting into it, how do you make sense of all of this? And I always say, let's take a look at where your current cases are currently are coming from and break it down by county, parish, zip code, et cetera, case type. And then we'll look and go, okay, let's simplify. What market are you in? Are you statewide? Are you regional? Are you in these three zip codes? Are you in these three, in Louisiana, we call them parishes. Everyone else calls them counties, but are you in those? How many are those? And how defining your marketplace that you are going to play in? What case types are you going to go after? Breaking it up into, there's lead gen, LSAs, and then you have what you call like all your attorney referrals. Then you got your non-attorney referrals, and then you have other in general marketing. So that sounds kind of simplistic, but it's a start. And I go, okay, well, how many are you a firm that gets cases from other attorneys? Yes, no. Are you a firm that buys leads? Are you a firm that advertises with, or present on Google LSAs, right? Or are you a firm that pushes for non-attorney referrals, and kind of markets a little more grassroots style? If you are doing other types of marketing that are not in those categories, what does that look like? And you got stuff where attribution is easy, right? Like PPC and some other digital things. It's easy to see where they came from and what they clicked and what they searched. But then you got branding stuff like billboards or radio or TV that is attribution can be trickier. And so all that is to say is that when I'll work with a firm that's maybe just getting off the ground, I'll see where their current cases are coming from. How do we build on that? What kind of budget do they have? Can we pick if we were to break up the sources of cases into those broad buckets that I have? Hey, how much do you get from attorneys, lead? Which ones do we want to build on? Right. And coming up with a unique strategy. And CJ Advertising, that's the approach that when we purchased CJ in 2018, very similar approach on a bigger scale. A lot of our clients are spending, significant amounts of money each year to generate cases. And we want to make sure that every dollar counts. But that assessment of what kind of firm is it? What kind of firm are they trying to be? Where are they currently getting cases? How can we complement that with additional dollars? Is the general approach, but really you don't want to do this alone unless this is all you do, right? I know some law firm owners that are like, hey, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I like spending my time on. This is what I like focusing on. If you're not that, if you like, hey, I prefer trying cases or like the op side, but I don't like the marketing side, you really need somebody that, again, someone that thinks about intake all day, every day, but you also need someone that thinks about getting new cases all day, every day to run a great firm.
That's critical to make sure ultimately you have your resources deployed properly in business. Exactly what you're talking about. You cannot be an expert in every aspect of a business. Certainly advertising is one of those areas where you really do need someone that you can work with and depend upon, just like, our business, same kind of idea. Yeah, law firms can do lien resolution, but can they get the kind of results in the same way that we can? I would say no, just like in advertising, you need someone like CJ Advertising, which, from doing my research, it seems like you guys have taken marketing and consulting and created these just innovative solutions. And I was going to ask you about how does CJ use data analytics and digital strategies to help ultimately improve client acquisition for PI firms? Because that's really at its essence what it's all about, right? Is that acquisition side?
Absolutely. And, you know, back in, you know, CJ was founded almost like probably, gosh, close to 30 years ago by Arnie Malheim. And he set up a very data-driven agency where everything was like, they tracked everything. They gathered data from clients. And as much as anything could be tracked, they'd track it. And they were really cutting edge in that regard. And then when we purchased CJ Advertising in 2018, I had been doing consulting for, you know, 8, 9, 10 years at that point. And then Mickey Love, who is the president of CJ, had also been doing a lot of consulting. And when we said, you know what, we want to do something different. We want to not just be an agency, but we want to be a partner in the law firm's growth. And we believe that if we focus on just growing these firms and looking at them holistically, that if they grow, the agency will directly and indirectly benefit. And so we started this operational consulting. At the time, there's no other agencies doing anything like it, right? They were just strictly, we'll handle your advertising. And we started seeing some really, really great results from the firms that we represented where, you know, they're growing and really becoming dominant players in their markets and is working. Now, today, I think almost every single advertising agency says, hey, we also do some operational consulting, and you'll see more different variations of it, right? But it's kind of like much more common these days. And we're like, okay, that's pretty cool that we feel like we brought that to the space. And, you know, we're always on that end going, okay, how can we help firms grow? And how do we, what other innovative things can we do? And we pride ourselves on being forward thinking in that regard. Whenever I talk with an owner, what I tell them is, look, there's a couple places where the owners and leaders can really make a big impact at their firm. When I'm working with firms and going, okay, a lot of the owners will go, well, where should I spend my time? What should I be doing? Where can I focus? And I say, in working with firms, the places where I see the high level owners or upper leadership spending their time is one, okay, handling the big cases. That makes sense. Where a law firm, if they are hands-on trying the big cases, litigating the big cases, that can make a huge difference to the firm. The second part is in marketing, focusing on, okay, spending my time on how do we get cases in the door? How are we evolving? That makes kind of sense. Handling cases, getting new cases. Then maybe one that doesn't stand out as much is what I call legal ops, which is, you know, focusing on not how you handle one case, but how you handle all the cases at the firm. How are we going to deliver legal services in bulk or at a macro level to all of our clients? We want to make sure that they get a phone call within 24 hours of signing a contract with our firm, you know, from an attorney. Like, so, you know, how do we execute that across the board? How do we make sure that they're being spoken to on a very frequent basis? How do we know that they know what's going on? Like very macro level legal operations. So you can make an impact there. Then, you know, you get into, well, one that people don't think about is intake. Believe it or not, I have seen partners, high level leadership, just spending a ton of time in intake can make a huge impact at the firm. And so often people go, well, I'm going to assign that to someone a little bit lower on the org chart to focus on intake. But there's some, you know, really great firms that just have someone, either a partner or high up, looking at intake all day, every day. And it makes a huge, huge difference. And so, you know, asking yourselves, well, which one of those do I gravitate towards? And there's things like, if you don't like handling cases, you can't be the guy that's handling the cases, right? If you don't like marketing, you shouldn't be the guy leading marketing. If you're in legal ops and you've never logged into your case management system, you shouldn't be that guy. You got to be very systems oriented. You got to be familiar with the technology. And, you know, on the intake side, if you don't like people, you probably should be in our business, but because that's all we do is help people. But if you're, you know, not, if you don't like the hustle bustle, the, you know, of intake, then you shouldn't be an intake. But you got to find that niche, and then where you're least likely to lean into, get a strong partner. And CJ Advertising is that partner for a lot of firms, because they're like, look, we can't keep up with all the different changes in the advertising space. Help us navigate this. Yes, we're going to have someone, you know, at our office that's going to help execute on this stuff, but be our partner in understanding what this looks like. So,
yeah, I'm curious, because of how rapidly things are changing with technology today, what you think are the significant changes in marketing strategies that personal injury law firms are going to need to adapt to stay ahead of their competition, particularly in the digital space.
Yeah, the biggest changes right now in our industry is definitely the influx of all the non-attorney investment, right? So back, you know, obviously in maybe 5 years ago, before Arizona allowed the non-attorney ownership of law firms, is very limited of who can have ownership interest. There was, you know, some stuff in DC that was kind of a loophole and other stuff. But now that we have these outside investment money coming into our space, they're flooding the market with advertising, right? And so what's that doing? It's getting tougher to compete. There's strategies to compete against those big dollars, but there's a lot more money being poured in, right? And that's a challenge, because you have to be highly intentional about what your strategy is to survive in this environment. And so the biggest change that I see is that back in the day, if a firm would spend this much on X on their advertising budget in relation to revenue, they're spending more. Almost every firm is spending more to get cases in the door. And the other thing that I'm seeing from a labor standpoint is that firms are getting way more efficient on the labor side by using overseas labor and then by using technology and to make that more efficient. And now there's a balance of, you know, in all these things, the client's got to come first. We always ask ourselves what's in the best interest of the client and make our decisions accordingly. And when you're using technology or using overseas labor or other solutions, you got to make sure that you're delivering great service and great representation to the client. But I'm seeing more and more firms get aggressive with that. Pre-COVID, everyone's like, well, you need an office and, you know, client needs somewhere to go and da, da, da. I'm seeing more firms pop up where they don't have an office, you know, and the client's okay with that because they've been through, you know, a world where, you know, they couldn't leave their house and they're used to certain technologies, like, you know, doing a video call with the client pre-COVID might have been kind of weird. Doing a video call with the client post-COVID, totally acceptable, totally normal. And they know how to use the technology because they were using it. Everyone, you know, got a crash course in video conferencing for the most part during COVID. So there's a lot of things that are evolving, but probably the biggest impact is people are saving money on labor and they're taking those dollars and putting it into marketing.
Yeah, it's interesting how things have changed so drastically with the advent of video conferencing and even hearings. I've got a separate law practice here in Florida where I handle Medicaid liens because we have an administrative process, and all the hearings used to be, we would go in person for a video conference, which makes no sense. But anyway, now, hey, they're all 100% via Zoom. So I get to do them here from my desk, which is much more comfortable and easier than having to go travel somewhere where we were on video anyway. But it's just crazy how much things have moved in that direction. Now, even your medical care, there's so much more of those, and I prefer them personally, just so I don't have to get in my car and travel, right? So there's certainly a lesser hassle factor with those.
No doubt. And so that, you know, there's a lot of changes happening. I think we're only at the beginning of it. And we're going to see it at a very accelerated clip. But and the point is, if you're like, look, I like trying cases and I like handling cases. I really don't want to worry about where the industry is going or how to get cases. Well, then that's fine. You just got to find a partner that will worry about that stuff on your behalf and that will take care of those things on your behalf. Sticking your head in the sand is not going to work. And there's too much happening. And there's so many resources out there. And I work with so many different great firms and you can really build your firm in a lot of different ways and be successful if you, again, take care of your clients, great service, great representation, and you can have five employees or 50 or 500, and there's ways to make them all work.
Well, kind of a good segue as we're wrapping up, because I wanted to ask you a bit about your law firm and its practice areas, along with how you've utilized and leveraged your background to operate a firm efficiently.
Absolutely. So, you know, at our firm, we grew and got to a spot where we have about, 50 attorneys and about 170 total employees. And, we represent thousands of clients each year. And the goal is, as you get bigger, how do you maintain that personal feel? How do you maintain consistency in delivering great legal representation? And, very early on in our firm's life, the first year or so, my partners and I would used to joke and say, hey, I just had one of my close friends call the office and they had an auto crash and they need some representation. Who should we put them? Put them with, don't put them with so-and-so because they might be, they can be a little, finicky and, this person will always, let's put them with so-and-so because they always call their clients back and they're great. And at one point we're like, this is silly. Like, we want to build a firm, and going back to what are you trying to build? We want to have a firm where whoever they talk to at intake, whoever they interact with, if they visit our office, whatever legal assistant they're assigned, whatever attorney they're assigned, whoever, that we have 100% faith and confidence that they're going to get treated right, they're going to get great legal representation. And then we said, let's just change it. And that's always been our goal. And we never want to lose sight of that. And so, as we grew, we'd ask ourselves, hey, do we trust, if we were to, spin a wheel and go, this is the attorney or this is the legal system, this is the person that our client is going to talk to, interact with, and depend upon, do we feel 100% confident about them getting paired with that person? And the answer is no, that may not be the right person for our firm, right? And so, when you ask about that, that's so critical. I mean, you can't deliver great representation or client service without a great team. And so that's always been the center of what we do. And then in terms of just how we, the things that we do as a firm is going, okay, we're constantly asking ourselves, how do we get better results for our clients? If I'm in the client's shoes, what part of this process is, do we like the least? Do we, like we mentioned earlier, when the client finishes treating to the time that we get the first offer on the table, they're wondering what's going on with their case and how do we make that window of the case shorter? How do we explain better to the client what's going on, what we're doing, what they can expect? How can we get better at, once we resolve the case, getting the check in the door for the client and getting it prepped so that we can disperse the money to the client? How do we resolve the liens so that we can get, get the client paid as soon as possible? And the short version is basically saying, we are constantly going, how can we provide, this is a horrific thing that the client has gone through to call our firm, that they have some life-changing, maybe the most traumatic thing that they go through in their life, and they've reached out to us. How do we make each part of that go smoother and go better with them always top of mind? And that's what we do in a nutshell. And that's what I do when I do consulting. I help other firms solve those questions because we've either run into it at our firm, I've run into it with a client. And I always tell firm, tell me something I've never heard before, but I challenge you.
You guys handle cases throughout Louisiana?
Correct. And we just started, handling cases throughout the country. We just had one of our attorneys and the rest of our team went and tried a case in Wisconsin, just got a $2 million verdict over there last week. Got another one up in North Louisiana, same week. And, also got some, East Coast. We've been all over recently in the past year, trying cases for other law firms, helping them get, some great results. And so while we absolutely have offices throughout Louisiana, for the right case, we will pack our bags and go travel.
And if, one of our listeners needs to refer a case to your firm, what are the practice areas that you guys accept cases from?
Any personal injury case, reach out to us, we'll handle it. And if it's something that's maybe not right in the wheelhouse of our expertise, then we will make sure that you find the right person for it. But yeah, anything in Louisiana, give us a holler. If you got a big case outside Louisiana, you'd like us to take a look, we'll always take a look. One thing that we do at our firm, which is interesting, is that we, you know, many years ago introduced the concept of a evaluation committee, which is basically saying on your bigger cases, no one attorney should set the value on it by themselves. Sometimes you can get too close to it, which can cause you to overestimate the value or even underestimate the value. And so you want to get some feedback on the best cases. And this was, believe it or not, it was like 10 years ago, maybe even longer than that. And, you know, in the early stages, people were like, well, I've been doing this for so long. Why do I need to get other attorneys to tell me what they think the value is? And we had a lot of pushback, but we did it at our office and saw some really great results. And we shared it with a bunch of other firms. And now, I come across firms everywhere that have like adopted this thing that was, you know, born in our, and it's a little bit more formalized. And yeah, personal injury attorneys have spoken with one another about the values and theories and strategy on their cases since the beginning of time. Got that. But having a systematized way to do it on a consistent basis for your team in an organized fashion, really tried to push that. And so, some firms, you're like, hey, look, I don't need you guys to co-counsel. But I would like to get your thoughts on liability and causation and damages. They'll patch into our office meeting. We do them typically on Wednesdays. And they'll call in and present their case and they'll get some feedback. And we're not asking for any fee. We're not asking for anything for it, but it's just another way to collaborate. And so if anyone listening would like to participate in that, then they can reach out to me and I'll get them connected.
That's a great offer. Last question, taking up enough of your time today. This is open-ended, so you answer it however you want to answer it. And I always ask, what is your view as a trial lawyer, practice management expert, and a marketing guru? So talk about whatever you want.
Look, if I had one piece of advice to give anyone that is trying to improve their firm, whether by a little or by a lot, I'd say the quote that I reiterate all the time is, we'll be the same person we are today 5 years from now, but for the people we meet and the books we read. And so by the books we read, I mean the conferences you go to, the podcasts you listen to, the, you know, those things matter. They change you and they can improve your practice. In addition to that, the people you meet and whether it's your colleagues, whether it's a coach, whether it is, there's people that can accelerate and improve your growth personally and professionally. And so being intentional about the stuff you listen to, the things you go to, and investing in your education and development. In addition to that, taking the time to invest in other people to accelerate that process is the biggest game changer. And it's the biggest common thread I see with the firms that continue to grow is that they're not lazy about their progress and they invest in it. And so I challenge your listeners to invest in growth and through the books you read and people you meet.
Excellent. Great episode, Chad. Thank you. If any of our listeners want to get in touch with you about anything you talked about today, what's the best way to reach you?
Email me at cdudley@dudleydebosier.com. That's C-D-U-D-L-E-Y at dudleydebosier, D-U-D-L-E-Y-D-E-B-O-S-I-E-R.com.
And we'll include that in the show notes of today's episode. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. And thank you, Chad, for your time today. And we'll see everybody on the next episode of Trial Lawyer View.
Here is another episode of Trial Lawyer View. We hope you enjoy today's guest and discussion. Tune in to our next episode for more helpful insights from fellow trial lawyers and practice experts. This podcast is brought to you by Synergy. Visit partnerwithsynergy.com to learn more about how Synergy can free your firm to focus on what it does best.